that a man lay down his life.
No, I got a question, Mary, though. You know, putting it on worship, you know, praise and worship, praying in the Holy Spirit, is there a
certain
way? Yeah, a certain way to put
it. It is. We discussed last week that getting into the Word of God. Let me tell y'all something. Don't say, I'm going to do better. Don't leave out and say, I'm going to do better. I heard the sermon, I'm going to do better. Because you're not. You're going to come up against something that you're not. But if you take this Word and meditate in it. I'm not talking about just reading it. Reading is good. But just meditate in it till it becomes a part of you. Let me tell you, that's putting on.
Yes.
The Word of God can divide the soul, the spirit. The Word of God is quick and powerful and alive. But see, you can't do it without the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is what gives life. Yeah. It's not like you're just sitting down studying, but you're saying, Holy Spirit, show me. And you're meditating in it day and night. I mean, you're thinking about it. You're thinking about, it's so many passages on love. And the Word of God is so much on God. Just get that Word of God. See, the Word of God, it said it'll divide the flesh. The Word of God knows how to divide. The Word of God will run, will override that flesh once you get that Word of God in there meditating. That's one way you put on. That's one way you put on Christ. It's through His Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld His glory. So if you learn how to get in that Word and meditate, we're going to do a study on meditation. Of the world. You know, the world has taken our meditation and changed it around and getting some effect from it. But we are called to meditate. You know, once the world get whatever we have and whatever we suppose, we just leave it. Well, I don't, meditation may be a little wrong. No, meditation belongs to you, people of God. Not to the world.
And it's to clean your filter. Joyce Myers put it so perfect where I finally got it. She says, your spirit is perfect.
It is.
She says, but your soul is a dirty filter. Everything that comes out of your mouth has to go through that dirty filter. And she says, until you clean that up, you're going to keep getting.
You're going to be clogged up. It's not going to be able to come through.
She said, and when it does come through, it's not
as effective.
It's not as effective because it's dirty water. So she was saying, you've got to meditate. You've got to mutter the words. You've got to change your soul.
It can be done.
Yeah, and she says, then everything that comes out through that clean filter will be gone. There's no dirt in there.
Mind can be renewed and the body can be brought home.
We're going to teach on meditation. That belongs to us. We're going to do a teaching on that so we can get that mind. We were at lunch, pastor's appreciation lunch, and some people were telling me, some of the students in here was telling me what they would like. She had some there on the calendar, the Doctor of the Believer. She was saying she wanted us to do the book club to do Authority of the Believer. Well, you already have it on the list. And what was Joyce Meyer's book that somebody said?
Battlefield of the Mind.
The Battlefield of the Mind.
That one's mm-hmm. very, very good. And so she has a book on love too that's really good. But the series I'm listening to from Joseph Prince on love is unbelievably awesome. So if you guys want one, just come by and tell me, because I'm telling you that this is where I got that revelation about the sweat. The sweat sweat of the brow and that being a part of the curse, and I thought, oh my God.
Yes, it's a big part of the curse.
And the other thing he said that was so beautiful, he said when the prodigal son came back, he said the father was already at the window looking. It was provision. He said, bring the fatted calf. He said it was good for everybody except for the fatted calf. The son was confessing, he says, but the father had already embraced him with love before he even said a word. And he said, that's our father. He's standing there looking at the window, waiting every day.
But you know, his father had gotten out the house. He met him.
Yeah, he ran, but he was expecting him.
He met him. That means he was looking for his son.
Yes.
Knew that his son would return. And he was praying. He was doing things to get his son back to a return.
And he wrapped him in love, God's arms.
He did.
His arms or might. But he wrapped him in love before he confessed a thing. And I love that. He says, God is provision.
But you know what? I believe him wrapping him in love and showing him so much love. The son began to say, I don't deserve this. You know, I've sinned. He saw, I've sinned. You show me love, but I've sinned, you know. And I want to teach on the love of God constrains us.
Yes.
And that's what constrained that boy to repent.
Yes.
Because he saw the love of God. But you know who had a problem with it? The church. The elder son.
The religious people.
Now, the elder son that had stayed at home and did right. I mean, he did. He was religious. But he said, Father, I've stayed here. I've done everything right. I've obeyed you. I've done this. And the thing of it, he didn't understand the Father's love. And I'm convinced that the church do not understand the Father's love. Because he should have, the elder brother should have been out there hugging the brother.
Yes.
Walking.
Yes.
Him back. See, let me tell you, this father didn't wait for the son to come. He went to him. The son was coming this way, but the father couldn't wait. He met him. He said, I saw him afar off. He got a vision of his son coming home. He said, I saw him in afar off. I saw it. I got a vision of it. I saw it. And I met him because I saw him in afar off.
Can't you see us saying, but God, I, and he's like, bring the calf. But God, I, and he's like, bring the musician. You know what I'm saying? We're wanting to.
I want to be a servant. No.
To just say, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. And he's yelling for the calf and the table and the servants. But that's picture is what I have in my mind.
But it's sad to say, yeah, what we would call the church of the elder son. He was mad. He was upset that this guy was getting treatment like this, you know, and had left home and did wrong. He was looking at the wrong.
He didn't realize that he had access to every single thing, didn't have to ask.
Well, then the daddy told him. That's so
right.
True.
Yeah, he just.
The daddy said, listen, you don't even have to come and ask me. Uh-huh. You can just go kill a fella calf anytime you want to. Just, you know. But when we don't understand the father love, yeah, that's the way we'll respond. So this is the reason I'm trying to teach on this love. Let you know you got it on the inside of you. You know, people say, what we need is more love. No, what you need to do is do something that Romans 5:5, get some of that love out that has been shed abroad in your heart. I hope I'm reaching.
Yeah.
Am I reaching, David? Am I reaching him?
Yes,
he's so cool. David always, he's been my coolest student, you know, always. He's just so relaxed. Yes, ma'am, you getting it? You getting it? You getting it? You getting it? It's reaching him. And I want it to reach everybody. Because sometimes we see God putting some command on us to love, and you go like, God, love like that? I mean, where am I going to get that kind of love from?
What you're in Apostle Thurston's teaching are like a slow soaking rain. It's so saying, but you know, a thunderstorm, when you just, it's so much, it runs off. You know what I'm saying? But a slow soaking rain, that's what gets to the roots of plants.
Amen.
And brings forth fruit. A slow soaking rain.
Amen. Come on up here, Pastor. Come on. Don't think I'm not going to be back, you know, next week teaching. Apostle, I ain't going too much over. I'm over, but I'm not going to go too much.
We love it.
Praise God. Come on, Apostle.
I love the move of the Spirit.
Amen, amen, amen.
The Lord is moving. He, everything he do, there's a system to it. That he does things step by step.
Order.
And when, like Mary was saying, you're not going to just learn love just by reading alone. You have to consider it and receive it. That's why I used to say, well, I said, Lord, teach me how to love your people. I knew me, and I was going to fail. Because people, they do crazy stuff. And I didn't want to fight the guy or nothing, but, yeah.
Excuse me, Apostle. David, did I answer your question?
Yes,
ma'am. I don't think I answered it fully, but meditating in the Word. When you meditate in the Word, it runs the flesh.
Yeah.
It kills the flesh.
Mm-hmm.
Amen, amen. And then being in his presence, too. In his presence, you change
a
lot, too. Mm-hmm. So I didn't give you all, but I gave you the most important, the Word of God.
Mm-hmm.
The fragrance of God will get off on you, too.
Huh?
If you're close to God,
yeah.
I don't know if you've known those people that wear too much cologne or perfume, but if you just sit in the car with them, you come out smelling like that. I'm in the fragrance of God.
Yeah.
You know, if you stay close to him, listen to him, fragrance of love off of him.
Mary said, when you hear the word meditate, you know, Jesus Christ was the Word. He became flesh, and then we saw his glory. I wanted to say in that order, the same way we are. We received the Word, we heard it, we received it. We think about it, consider it, meditate on it, and then it comes out of our mouth. And every time I made a lasting change, I said, I'm going to do this. I knew I didn't know what I was doing, and I knew I wasn't good at it, and but it goes back to reception. You receive his word, you're looking at him, adjustments are being made. And when the adjustments are made, you can live in the spirit of the word. That's our heritage. And I'm going to pick up what we left off in the last class. This is still Ezekiel 44. We saw that the priest, I started verse 18 this time, Ezekiel 44, what's 17? And it shall come to pass that when they enter in at the gates in the inner court, they shall be clothed with linen garments and no wool, and no wool shall come upon them whilst they minister in the gates of the inner court and within. They shall have linen bonnets upon their heads, and they shall have linen breeches upon their loins. They shall not gird themselves with anything that causes sweat. So they're doing the work of the Spirit. And their actions are of God, not of themselves. And when they go forth to the utter court, even unto the utter court of the people, they shall put off their garments wherein they minister, and lay them in the holy chambers, and they shall put on their garments, and they shall not sanctify the people with their garments. Neither shall they shave their heads, nor suffer their locks to grow long. They shall only poll their heads. I believe they are representing the common man. They didn't do anything to make themselves look uncommon. In whatever men of God, men and women of God, should never put themselves above others. We're servants. We work together. Whatever God is doing in my life, he can do in your life. That's how Jesus, you know, he said that he hates the work of the Nicolaitans. They try to rule the people, put themselves above the people. They have classes. And, you know, God, that's not God's way. Jesus loved everybody. He talked to everybody as if they were very important to God. And that's, you know, when you look at what God did, this is way back in Ezekiel. This has always been his way, his logic. He made Adam in his image. You know, you will forever be in his image. That's why people, it's impossible for a person to non-exist. You can't go back into non-existent. You've made in the image of God, you're going to be somewhere. You're going to always be. The body will die, but the spirit came. Neither shall they take for the... He gave them rules. He said, neither shall any priest drink wine when they enter into the inner court. They got to be blameless before the people, because whatever you do, people can't distinguish the difference, what's of God, what's not. If a preacher do something, and if it's sin or something that's just not kosher, then people will say it's okay to do it too. Especially when the Holy Spirit's operating in your life, people are being healed, people are being blessed, encouraging words are being spoken, and then when you do something that's off color, people will accept it that way. He said, he said, neither shall they take for themselves, verse 22, neither shall they take for their wives a widow or her that is put away, but they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel or a widow that had a priest before. So they couldn't take the wives of a widow. They couldn't take for their wives a widow. She was married to a man that was not a priest. Her logic would be different. And then she can cause him to, you know, everybody has persuasion. Everybody can persuade people. Everybody has influence, is what I'm trying to say. And she's not used to being married to a priest. She's used to being married to a regular man. But he has to do. She's not going to share him with God. But because he made the distinction at the end, he could marry a widow that had a priest before. She's trained in the things of God, and he can't marry somebody that is put away. But they shall take maidens of the seed of the house of Israel. It didn't say the house of Jacob, so. The Lord is talking about people, women that were that sincerely love God. If you, as a minister, if you married somebody that's not sincere, they can cause you a lot of problems. You can have a divided home, because when people love God, they'll serve Him. They'll be a blessing, and they want the enemy is trying to destroy everything that you're trying to build, and that goes for everybody. Everything that you're trying to do in the name of the Lord, you love God, He's trying to tear that down some way, somehow. So you have things, these protocols are in place to protect those. Remember the ratio. Job said it, Solomon said it, others have said it, that one of a thousand, out of a thousand men, you get one that will obey God. Now you finally got a priest that, like the sons of Zadok, that will love God and follow Him fully, and then he go marry a contrary person, a contrary woman. I mean, now he's disturbed. It's if he married a widow that had a priest before, she's trained. If he marry a woman from Israel, a woman that loves God, that wants to serve God, now. He's propelled. He doesn't have to fight three battles. You already got to fight the battle within. Then you got to fight the battle to do God's work. And then you got another person over here distracting you. You know, these are the things, these kind of things happen against people. And it's very important. He said, and they shall teach my people the difference between holy and profane, and cause them to discern between the unclean and clean, and the clean. As long as we breathe on this earth, we're going to have things that we have to receive and select, and things that we have to reject and put away. The Lord showed us that in the beginning, the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the one of the priest's duty was to show them the difference between holy and profane. Now, Jesus came to us as a priest, like David said in Revelation, and he showed them what they, first he started with what they had right, so he could build on what they had. Then he showed them what was going to cause them problems, so they can just, so they can drive it out of their life. That's the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and get rid of it. Stick with the love of God and prepare. And when you but the work of the ministry, you don't, that's a gift. That's a sanction. God gave you something to do. One of the worst things that ever happened to, against the church, is men of God get, allowing competition, because now that caused strife. They went right back to doing what Lucifer did. When he was Lucifer, he said, I will exalt my throne, not somebody else's. I'm going to, the concept of somebody being better was an aggravation to him. The anointing is not of me. It came from God. The anointing is not of you. It came from God. That's a grace. So the Lord is looking for people who will receive his grace. The anointing that he put on you, it's not just a gift to you, it's a gift to me. You're talking to me. You're giving me something worth more than $100,000 every time you talk. You're giving me the word of God. If I get in competition with it, I'll put up my shield and get angry and move it out of the way. I won't receive it because I'm angry, because God using you more than he using me. But he using you to give me a gift that's worth more than $100,000. Even the comments of God. People have taken the comments of God and become wealthy. And this is real. This is true. When you receive the right word at the right time, it can help you avoid costly mistakes, and it can put you on a track of faith to where you can put things in order, and it will become wealth in your life. Not just in money, but in relationships. Now, the anointing came to give us this. But when people get in pride, if somebody that they thought that was insignificant to them say something, well, I don't have to, you're not Kenneth Hagin, I just won't listen to you. I've seen people do stuff like that. I hate saying, I don't even like teaching like this. But this is, and I don't think nobody does, but it happens. Then the Holy Spirit has to deal with this. People reject the word because of who it came through. But every person that is anointed, they laid their life down somewhere. They fought battles somewhere. They won an inward battle, and they struggle to fight the outward battle. And they love God somewhere. Now they know in part. They're not perfect. You can find fault in anybody if you're with them all day. If you follow me around all day, you can count 100 things that I did wrong. It's just how it is. But God is patient. His love for me. He loves me, and he's working with me. You have to give people room for error, for failure. Why? If we know in part, we lack knowledge in part. If we lack knowledge in part, we're going to do something that's not perfect. But by the love of God, we can. We have access to all the knowledge and wisdom of God. But if the Lord, every time the Lord teaches something, it proves that was something you didn't know.
And, you know, by us having the Holy Spirit inside, that's something in us nudging, saying,
And that wasn't right. That was too much, Sister Mary. It's too much mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you got a little something and you pull it on you, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're sensitive to
yeah.
that pull, you'll say, oh, yeah, that was wrong.
You're you know what that means.
That way, you know.
You know what that means?
Uh-huh.
You're his child.
That's true. Correction. Yeah.
Because yeah. the tares don't get correction.
Yeah. I said, we do things wrong sometimes, but we must be aware that the Holy Spirit is trying to get you in the right
yeah.
direction.
And you want to, you love and you want to make correction.
Sometimes we're not sensitive to it. Mm-hmm. We're just pulling on it and we're like,
mm-hmm.
you know, but we have to be more sensitive
yeah.
to the Holy Spirit mm-hmm. and cooperate with Him more. Just tell Him, hey, I want to cooperate with you. I want you to live through me. I get up in the morning and say, live through me, Holy Spirit. Live through me. So it could be less of Mary and more of the Holy Spirit. That's what you want to do, bottom line, anyway.
Every time I find failure, and I find it all the time, I say, Lord, help me deal with this. He can... He'll give you, he can give you, sometimes it takes training. Some things is not going to go away until you're trained in that area.
That's good. Yeah. And that's what meditation is like, yeah. training yourself. Mm-hmm. It's a little deeper, going a little deeper. Sometimes mm-hmm. we don't want to go a little deeper. We want to stay surface.
No.
You know, some people say, well, Sister Mary, sometimes you teach a little bit, you go a little bit too. I said, that's where you got to go.
Mm-hmm.
Into the deep.
Into the deep.
You can't be scared of the deep.
Everything Jesus said to the seven churches, called, they were said to destroy things at the root level. God always works at the root level. And if you alter those things at the root level, you're on a pattern of stability. Then now it helps you be receptive to the living things of God. But the contrary things that we learn, they hold us. They are an opponent. Every contrary thought, everything, things that we hadn't been trained in, they can cause you to resist and repel the word of God that you could easily receive. So when you change things at the root level, we only have faith for what we receive. The word that we receive, that's where we're going to have faith. It forms in our heart. The love of God calls you to agree with it. And the more you love God, the more receptive you are. You may not even realize it, but when you love God, a lot of things, if you overhear a word being spoken to somebody else, and you detect the life in it, you'll grab it and not forget it. And sometimes you get it, and the enemy will fight you to work against your mind so you'll forget it. And that happens too. And I said, Lord, give me that thought back. And when he do, I grab it. All right. I love these kind of dynamics, you know. Dear Lord, I thank you for your word. Help us to go forward in you. Help us to receive the anointing. Help us to do the sweatless works of the anointing, that we may see that revival. And Lord, I thank you for every person that will help us to bring about that revival. Help us to grow in you. Help us to do all that's in your heart. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Thank you, Apostle.
Yeah.